The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kubale Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kule Ogbayani alongside Michael Lascaro. Paul Brecht, as we know, is at the HPU Esports Arena powered by DSE Hawaii, ready to bring you Sharks Weekly and the music. Good morning, Michael. It's been a while, I guess.
It's been a while.
Paul Brecht is at the Aloha Tower Marketplace HPU campus and getting ready at the Esports Arena powered by DSE Hawaii, ready to bring you Sharks Weekly because it is Thursday. So following this show, Paul will be out there and it'll feature cheerleading. So all of our cheer fans out there want to stick around. And the HPU cheer program has actually been quite competitive. They won the Nationals last year. So be sure to stick around to learn all about their cheer. Also coming up following Sharks Weekly, we have USC men's basketball versus number one Arizona in the Pac-12 tournament. So you guys can listen to that following Sharks Weekly. It is going to join in progress. The game itself begins at 9 o'clock. So we'll join the USC Arizona game in progress because there's a bunch of stuff going on, and that's going on in Vegas where I will be later on this evening. So unfortunately, I will miss the University of Hawaii men's basketball game as they are going to take on CSUN today in the Big West Conference tournament. But yeah, we'll hear from head coach Aron Gannat a little later in the show, also forward Justin McCoy. Get to what happened in the CSUN UCSB game yesterday, but unfortunately, I'm going to miss the game. I'll be on the airplane, probably taxiing, ready to take off as the game is tipping off today between CSUN and the University of Hawaii, because that game is at 3 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time and you can watch it on ESPN+. But before I really get to other stuff, I need to make sure I tell the, you know, beautiful people about the other thing that's going on and coming out at 3 o'clock p.m. today. Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie on Disney Plus.
So what are you watching first when you land?
Well, I'm definitely going to, depending on how the game went, will determine if I want to watch the highlights or not, because I will not know any result until I land, when you can, because, you know, Hawaiian Airlines hasn't figured out how to put Wi-Fi in their airplanes over the ocean, like United and Delta and pretty much every other major carrier in the United States. So you just have to like live in solitude in the little metal tube until you get to Las Vegas. So, but that's a good question. My poor other half who's already in Las Vegas will be tortured when if the Bows lose, which I don't think they will, but if something freaky happens like foul trouble or whatnot, then poor him. He's going to have to suffer through me putting on the Taylor Swift Eras Tour the first thing when I get into the hotel room.
I think you should make the decision now to watch the highlights and, you know, just wholeheartedly make the decision, and then maybe they'll win.
Because if they lost, then I would just be like really sad, and then I would watch Taylor Swift concert to make me feel better about them losing. But nonetheless, there is a game going on today, and then the women don't play until tomorrow as they had that double bye. But going back to the game that happened yesterday, so again, Hawaii will play CSUN today in the quarterfinal round. CSUN had a somewhat long game against UC Santa Barbara yesterday. They won in overtime, 87-84. And fun fact, though, CSUN beat UH 87-84 in overtime, so same result, back in 2014. And that same year was the last time that they won a tournament game, when they had beat Long. So they moved on, they beat Hawaii, they moved on to beat Long Beach State in the semifinals, and then they went on and they lost in the championship game. So that same year, the win in the semis against Long Beach State was the last time that the Matadors had won a game in the Big West Conference tournament. So if we think our stretch has been a while for the University of Hawaii, CSUN, they were loving that win yesterday. that they very much well needed. And just to go back last year, for everyone that may have forgotten, Hawaii was number 5 at the time, and then they were knocked out in the quarterfinals by number 4 Cal State Fullerton, who always seems to have our number in the tournament. And that game went to overtime, which Fullerton won 62-60. And then Fullerton moved on to the semis to upset number 1 UC Irvine 83-80. And then lost to UC Santa Barbara in the championships 72-62. So the defending Big West Conference champs are officially out, getting knocked out by CSUN. It was an interesting game. AJ Mitchell put up 36 points. He got a little banged up, though, in the, like, kind of towards the ending of regulation. So he, like, kind of landed on a player's foot awkwardly, but he still remains in the game. The interesting thing about the, about UC Santa Barbara in overtime, they were 0-for-11 from the field. No field goals whatsoever in overtime, and their only 5 points came off of free throws. So I thought that was interesting. When you're watching it in real time, you're like, oh yeah, I guess they seem like they can't score, but you see their score tallying, so it doesn't hit you. But looking at the final stats, yeah, UCSB held scoreless from field goal in the overtime range, but nonetheless, very close game. I was going back and forth with some of our group chat people that are all, there's a bunch of University of Hawaii fans that are already up there, so they'll be in attendance at the game this afternoon / evening in Las Vegas. And I feel like I was the only one that wanted to, like, I was texting, I'm like, I actually don't mind having to face UC Santa Barbara, only because AJ Mitchell got a little banged up. So, like, what, I think I'd rather have a little banged up UCSB and AJ Mitchell as opposed to CSUN. But if we look at the past and what just happened this season, it's kind of a, I guess, the tail of the tape, as you would say, looking at these last two games in the regular season, Hawaii and CSUN. They did split in the regular season. Most recently, Hawaii won by 2.72-70 not too long ago. UH outscored, if you break it down by half, outscored CSUN by 1 point in each half. Bernardo da Silva. So this is where a lot of the big difference is too. Bernardo da Silva had 18 points in the win. In the loss, in which Hawaii lost 76-66 at CSUN, Bernardo da Silva only had 2 points. In the win, Noel Coleman had 14, Justin McCoy had 14, Juan Munoz had 13. And this is where it's kind of flip-flop, where Jovan McClanahan, this is when he was just kind of coming back, only played 6 minutes in the win. And then in the loss, he was actually the leading scorer with 23 points. So it's kind of interesting to see how the season has changed. Other than that, there aren't really significant stats that stand out. Like, it, something that I was automatically assuming in my head is that maybe the rebounding was substantially different between both games, but it really wasn't too much different. Hawaii did out-rebound CSUN by 5 in the win, but in the loss, CSUN out-rebounded Hawaii by only 3 rebounds. So we didn't give up a lot of second-chance points in both games, which was very, very interesting, because if you look at CSUN in our loss at CSUN's offensive rebounds, they only had 9 offensive rebounds in the loss, where I would kind of assume, hey, we need to stop giving up second chance points because CSUN is very big and long and physical. But that kind of surprised me when I went back and looked at the stat comparisons, is that even turnovers, Hawaii, usually you can see something happen with turnovers, but they really didn't. Turnovers for both teams were relatively even. The thing that stood out to me, though, is, so as I mentioned, the rebounding, we didn't give up a lot of second chance opportunities, but yet in the loss, CSUN scored 40 points in the paint. And then even in the win, CSUN scored 50 points in the paint. So we need to find some way to stop them down low. Foul trouble wasn't too much of a big deal in the win. Hawaii actually only having 13 fouls, where CSUN fouled Hawaii 26 times. So from that aspect, it's we just need to figure out a way to stop some of their bigger players. Something that stood out also in the CSUN-UCSB game is that usually Deshaun Allen Eakins, who made the Big West All Big West first team and was the leading scorer in both games against Hawaii, he was actually the second leading scorer in the game against UCSB. Their other forward, Keontae Jones, put up 24 points, and Deshaun Allen Eakins put up 23. Deontay Bostic also did a good job, one of their guards, scoring 18, and Gianni Hunt. So well-rounded from majority of their starters, four of their five starters in double digits yesterday against UCSB. So Santa Barbara kind of figured out a way to slow down Allen Eakins, also put him on the free throw line quite a lot. He shot 16 free throws, the most out of the entire Matador squad. And he's a pretty decent free throw shooter, so it's not something that you want to do often. But that's going to, I was talking to, I think I was telling Paul yesterday, we definitely need Justin McCoy to continue to, I guess, be the late bloomer that he is. Because if he shows up and becomes the player that he has been, and even better, maybe elevating himself in this tournament, he will essentially, and I don't know if they're going to match up against each other per se, but he will essentially cancel out, or they'll kind of exchange, you know, with Allen Eakins, because I feel like Justin McCoy has the potential to be that good of a player. And that way you kind of leave the rest of the game to everybody else, if that makes sense. You know, like you have one player that goes pound for pound, have you, with the other team, and then it becomes to everyone else to step up. So like Noel Coleman stepping up, maybe Juan Munoz will have one of those hot shooting days that we know him to have. Jovan McClanahan, maybe could be his last game ever. So we'll have one of those games where he really steps up. So I feel like Justin McCoy, as I mentioned, has the skills, the size, the IQ to go pound for pound with Deshaun Allen Eakins in the sense of matching baskets or being someone that has to worry the Matadors. And other than that, it just comes to everybody else. Seems simple enough, right?
Yeah. One thing with Justin McCoy that I really love is he is a three-level scorer. He can score from the perimeter. He can get inside. But he can also operate in the mid-game. And on senior night, you know, Hawaii, they weren't making their outside shots to start, and they were just getting everything blocked at the start. But when he was really kind of operating near that free throw line extended area, you know, posting up and just being a, you know, just forcing the defense to kind of collapse on him, you know, that open driving lanes, like even Ryan Rapp was able to get to the rim on some cuts. You know, one of my good friends is a big Virginia fan, and even way back when Justin McCoy played for Virginia, he was really impressed with his mid-range game. So that's going to be key. Koo, you talk about stats earlier, and I didn't realize they scored that many points in the paint.
Yes. Crazy. And like I said, the rebounding, we didn't give up that many offensive rebounds to them. So this is all just firsthand points. No, you know, secondhand bunnies.
Yeah. The one stat that was kind of alarming to me last night when I was kind of looking through the season was that their three-point percentage. You know, in the loss, Hawaii's loss to them early in the season, they shot 42% from three-point line. So not only were they getting the points in the paint, but they were getting hot from deep. Last night, they shot 42% too from three-point line. So I think if it's, you know, a kind of a battle, physical game inside, I think Hawaii has the ability to match, you know, contend with them. But if they start making some shots outside early on, you know, they can get hot. So we have to run them off the three-point line. We talk about the when they played a week ago, I believe, you know, Hawaii was kind of, you know, even though Hawaii Lures outscored them by 1 point in both halves, they were kind of up fairly decent in the latter part of the second half. But then, you know, CSUN goes on a 15-7 run. So they have the ability to kind of get points in bunches. So it's going to be interesting to see how it starts, and it's going to be interesting to see how it finishes.
Yeah, and that CSUN game, I remember getting so frustrated because I was like yelling like, my goodness, Hawaii's just doing everything they can to let CSUN stay in this game, because you're right, they were figuring things out. So that's one of the, so in the second game, in the win For the most part, they played a complete game because as opposed to the first game, only 16 points in the paint for Hawaii. In the second game, in the win, scoring 32 points in the paint, and that's when Bernardo was the leading scorer in that game, but also 8 for 25 from three-point range. So they took a lot of three-point shots, but did a lot of damage, so they were able to adjust and just keep feeding down low. And then in the first game, talk about chucking up threes, 11 for 38 from three. They just wanted to, and a lot of that too, the stat is kind of skewed because they were down for, you know, to CSUN. So a lot of those threes can come towards the ending when you're just trying to keep shooting to get the score closer, and they just weren't falling. So if Hawaii can have the complete game that we know that they can, I mean, they're going to blow CSUN out of the water. Like, they are on paper the better team, and the expectation is still very, very high because we used to speak about it extensively and almost like nauseatingly that this men's basketball team is the best on paper that we've seen in quite some time. And then when they went to that little slump in the middle, we're like, oh my goodness, what is going on? So now if they are, in fact, which is why we always say it matters to play your best basketball, you know, going down the stretch and into the tournament, if that's true and they take what they've been doing in the regular season into this tournament, I mean, I don't see a world where CSUN really stays in it with the Rainbow Warriors. But again, that's why they play the games. I trust the coaches and the players to go in with the right game plan. The only thing that does concern me about the Dollar Loan Center, fortunately, a lot of the players had played in it last year. Justin McCoy, this will be his first time, but the depth perception in the Dollar Loan Center is very difficult, in my opinion. Like, being a former player and I was sitting courtside last year, it's just very, very big compared to the Stan Sheriff Center and compared to any other gyms that they play in within the Big West. So you could see Hawaii, even the men and the women, struggle with that a little bit last year. But now with both groups being a veteran group, hopefully that won't, you know, mess them up too much. Again, even Juan Munoz, this will be his first time playing in there as well since he didn't play last year after getting injured. So maybe the points in the paint is going to be the key for both teams and who can win it. Who can stay out of foul trouble, especially, too. That's going to be another key. But when we come back, we'll hear from head coach Iran Gannat and Justin McCoy next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760. Needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day? I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you.
Sorry, got distracted by the dance party. Eras Tour movie. It's Kule Ogbayani and Michael Lescaro. It's Wake Up in the Den. Sorry. I get a little distracted, but thank you for dealing with me, everybody, and the Taylor Swift fandom that you will have to deal with today. But don't worry, I will be handing off the reins to Michael and Paul tomorrow morning, so you will not have to hear me talk about me staying up all night to watch the Eras Tour movie. But be sure to follow us on social media at High Sports Radio or on my personal Instagram personal work Instagram that I recently created. So it's easier to find me at Kule Ogbayani, just like my Twitter handle, because, yeah, I'll just be sharing with you guys all trip long about being out in Las Vegas for the Big West Championships for the men's and women's game. Men's today at 3:00 p.m. All right. So earlier in the week, Iran Gannat and Justin McCoy chatted with the media it was on Tuesday when the awards for the All-Conference Awards came out. So while you're listening to these interviews, just keep that in mind, because I think there are a couple of places in between where they talk about, like, oh yeah, lifting weights today. And don't worry, they're not lifting weights on game day. I hear they did have a good shoot around, however, today at the Dollar Loan Center. So take that how you must. But it starts off first with UH men's basketball head coach Iran Gannat and just talking about what it feels like, or just getting some of these nominations for his players.
I don't think it's too difficult because it feels exactly like a normal stretch. It would be different if you had like this real, like really long break. I mean, sometimes in years past, we finished at every time in years past, we finished on Saturday, we play Thursday, but we've stayed on the road and we've been on the road for a long time. In this case, Saturday, we traveled Sunday, got here Monday, obviously play Thursday. So the distance between the games or the isn't different really. So in that regard, the only difference is we're not honing in on maybe a specific team outside of us on this Tuesday or Wednesday. We're just subconsciously bringing in some pieces and just getting our guys really recharged for this final stretch.
I'm wondering if you have a word about Elijah Pepper, player of the year, a guy, if you were fortunate enough to win on Thursday, you'll see in the semifinal round. And then also for UC San Diego, Eric Olin getting coach of the year while they're still in their, you know, marathon transitional process.
Yeah, I mean, as it relates to Pepper, obviously impressive what he's done, what he's continued to do as teams continue to target him. I think it's a credit to his work ethic as, you know, moving up the scout and being at the top of the scout for a long time. I think it's a credit to his work because he's added different components to his game. We talk about within a game, he's a 40-minute cover, and within a year, and like indicative with our game, you know, you can do a decent job on him one night and not do as good a job the other night. He just can soar in so many different ways. He gets to the line as well as anybody. He's a good passer. He makes tough shots. He can shoot the three. He can finish at the rim. And he could, like, you know, he can finish in all three levels. So, you know, one of the prolific scorers this conference has seen and one of the best scorers in the country. So, and doing that for a team that's earned the number two seed. So a lot of credit for him as it relates to Eric Olin. I've said a lot of often about our respect for the teams in our league, the town in our league, the coaches in our league. There's a lot of continuity in our league and different guys have taken their teams to tournaments and have won coach of the year. I mean, I know they're only in their fourth year in our league, but he's been there a long time. He's had great success there prior to the transition and broke through this year in the transition. But as you guys know, when we played them in the past years, we've come in there with great respect for how difficult they are to play. I think there was a lot of coaches that were deserving of that honor. Obviously, Coach Turner at Irvine, you know, at the top of their league, certainly Eric and, you know, Jim Luss obviously taking their team to a two seed. And so a lot of respect for the coaches. Coach Olin's very deserving. He's done a really good job, not just this year, his entire career, done it the right way. Much respect for him nationally, in the West, obviously. Very difficult style of play. And he deserves it.
Hey, Coach, just your thoughts of how important of it is, because, you know, this is a very good team this year, of just making it past the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I said going in after you want to put yourself in a position where you can break through. We certainly have a team that can do that. We've had teams who can do that. And, you know, I think we lost in overtime last year, the year before I went to the semis. Some of the years before, there was a buzzer game winner here and there. I remember with Irvine and one with Long Beach. And so in these one game deals, you see it everywhere in the country. You know, we're in the mecca of kind of conference tournaments here in Vegas, and conference tournament has already started around the country. And you've seen these games go either way and more tournaments starting up. And so you want to put yourself in a position where it's not that one possession here or there, you know, not to say, you know, I think we have a clutch team. And I know people point to the one possessions at the end of games that can go your way or the other way, but there's so much part of that that can help you break through. So, you know, obviously we have a team that's coming in here, you know, 1-9 of our last 12, has good momentum. The challenge is improving even in these two or three days of practice we have prior to that Thursday game. We can get better for that. We need to get better for that because the parity in this league is really good. I mean, I've been part of two conferences, one of which, you know, two teams seem to be at the top for a long time. And I think this one has had almost a different champ every year. So even with starting with tomorrow's games, with the first round game before the quarters, there are going to be battles across the board. So, you know, I'm pleased that our guys have put themselves in position, especially finishing strong. And hopefully we show consistency so we can break through.
So, Coach, I know you've always talked about the fans. And even though, you know, we're 2,500 miles away, as it was in Anaheim, here we outdraw all the other teams by far. Not to mention the band, the rainbow dancers, the cheerleaders. So do you think, I mean, this home court kind of advantage we have really shows through when you talk about our fan base and the loyalty and the support?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken at length. Any opportunity I've gotten for the past 9 years and moving forward, I'll always thank our fan base. I think they're a big part of this. I think they're a big part of our, and you've heard our seniors and our guys, of our final stretch here, because, you know, I've said it's all encompassing. Our guys, you know, we're never divisive. We never fragmented. We stay together. But that can go for, you know, our support staff, our fans, you know, everybody hung in with us. And then when you come out here, you can feel it as you get closer to the game. Obviously, this is the ninth island, and we've been to Vegas quite a bit over the years, whether it's recruiting or tournament play, and you can see familiar faces. And, you know, with each day as you get closer to the event, you see more familiar faces. So, and I think that's great. And then when you get to the actual game, when you, you know, hear the band, when you leave the hotel and then walk into the locker room and to the facility, and you can see, you know, all those guys traveling, you know, obviously people traveling and people who live here who come to the game. So it's a one big family road trip, and that's a pretty special thing, and something we don't take lightly and something we're very appreciative of.
And that was University of Hawaii men's basketball head coach Iran Ganat. Now here's forward Justin McCoy, who starts off by sharing his thoughts by playing in the tournament in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is awesome. It's a lively city, of course, so there's a lot of energy here. There's a couple other conference tournaments going on, so I mean, it's definitely a basketball place right now. I have family that live in Las Vegas, my aunt and uncle and four cousins that live out here, so it's cool. It feels like a little bit of home just having them out here. And of course, you know, my mom and sister will be out, and brother will be out here as well, so that's awesome. And then of course, like you said, just super honored and blessed to make a second team all conference. I didn't think I would. I thought we had some guys play really well on our team that I thought were going to be deserving of that. And so, like I said, just super honored and blessed.
Congratulations again. I know you're a big team guy. You're not the only guy who got selection. What can you say about Bernardo and Noel's seasons and kind of how they've helped you along in your breakout year here in Hawaii?
Yeah, I would say they've both been huge parts of my success. Both Noel going on huge scoring frenzies all year from the beginning of the year to now. I mean, just had 31. I remember him having either 30 or something very close to it multiple times in the non-conference. Just seeing him work hard and go to work, and I'm sitting here like, I need to step it up. I need to help him out. And then someone like B, who's shooting 61% from the field and like leading the Big West in field goal percentage, and every night damn near having a double-double. Like, I'm like, why can't I do that too? And so they both helped me elevate and step my game up, because I'm looking across at them during the game and I'm like, they need help. I need to step it up. And so that's really been my focus, is just stepping it up for not only myself, but just the team. I came out here with 1 year to play, and I can't waste any moments. And so that was really a big focus and mentality of mine these last couple of games, coming in these last 12 games.
Hey, Justin, so you mentioned you had family here, but I'm sure the other guys have told you how, you know, we call this our ninth island, and there's a ton of Hawaii fans here. We always outdraw all the other teams. We're going to have the band, the cheerleaders, the rainbow dancers. So did they tell you about what it's like? It's almost like a home game, you know, 3,000 miles away from home.
Yeah, everyone says that Vegas is the ninth island, and I think that that's just super fitting that the tournament's out here, and we're the one team that it's hard to get fans to travel to the mainland just because of the distance and the cost of everything. So, you know, for us to have the tournament here, I think it's special, and it gives us that advantage that I think we honestly need, because everyone else can just drive a couple hours or whatever and get here. Super easy to have. And so I think that's special. And whether it's a coincidence or not, I'm super thankful for it. And I'm excited to see how the fans turn out to the game.
Justin, just kind of talk about your guys' back half of the season being able to finish strong to get that third seed, and how pivotal it was for you guys to, you know, have a couple days off, get into Vegas and kind of have a little bit of rest days. How important was that for you guys as a team to kind of be at your best going into Thursday?
I think it's super important. I'm happy that our coaches did what they did. We got to, you know, lift and shoot and do a lot of skill work, which I'm very appreciative of. And that was yesterday. Today we had a practice and we still were able to lift. And for guys like me especially, just being able to still get in the weight room and be active and get skill work done on days like yesterday are super important for us. It keeps us moving. You don't want to get too stagnant with all the off days and everything. So it was a big deal for us.
Hey, Justin, congrats on the honor today, man. I just was going to ask you, you know, the recent history of this Hawaii basketball team in the Big West tournament has been either one and done or semifinals at the farthest. So do you feel like, just with your experiences, what you've seen, and especially this back half of the conference season, what you've done, that the story could be different this year, that, you know, you can help inject something new into what's happened?
Yeah, for sure. I think I've been playing well. I think that's a testament to my teammates, though. And I think my team is really good. And I'm confident that we have everything we need and everything. Yeah, I think we have everything we need to make a big run here and win it all. I love going to war with these guys every day. You know, you talk about my accolades of being second team. That's a testament to my teammates trusting me, putting me in good spots. And of course, the coaching staff obviously taking that risk of recruiting me, working with me all year and still believing in me. And so, yeah, I think we have everything we need to make that run. And I think this year will be different. I know everyone says that every year, but truly, I love this team. And I think we can do a lot of good things out here.
That was UH men's basketball forward Justin McCoy just a couple of days ago. And before him, you heard from head coach Iran Gannat. Now the Rainbow Warriors get set to play CSUN, who beat UC Santa Barbara last night in overtime, 87-84. Game time for Hawaii and CSUN is at 3 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time, and you can watch it on ESPN+. Plus, the fun fact that we mentioned to start off the show is that CSUN, yesterday's win for CSUN was the first time they've won in the tournament since 2014, and that same year, CSUN had actually beat Hawaii 87-84 in overtime in the quarterfinal round. So even though it was like 10 years ago, I'm just going to say we're going to avenge that loss in the tournament. Hawaii is, but we'll definitely, well, I guess I won't, but Paul and Michael will have your recap of the game tomorrow morning and also preview the Rainbow Wahine game that will be tomorrow as well. Again, Hawaii on the women's side don't play until tomorrow. That game will actually be at 9 a.m. Hawaii time on ESPN+. And the Rainbow Wahine await the winners of UC Davis and Cal Poly. Davis annihilated Cal State Fullerton in the first round, 81-56. In the other side of the women's bracket, UC Irvine is the 2 seed and will await Long Beach State and UC Riverside. I guess I should tell you what happened in the other side of the men's bracket. So UC Riverside beat Cal State Bakersfield 83-78 in the first round yesterday. And today UC Riverside will play Long Beach State in the men's championships round or quarterfinals, and then move on. Winner moves on to play UC Irvine. Hawaii CSUN winner moves on to play UC Davis. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Everywhere I turn, beautiful ladies. Everywhere I look,
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kule Agbayani alongside Michael Lescaro. Mahalo to all of you for tuning in. This is an every weekday morning on Wake Up in the Den on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. You can also text us at 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. Coming up after the show, don't forget, we have Sharks Weekly featuring HPU Cheer. And then after Sharks Weekly, we will take you to Join in Progress in the Pac-12 tournament with USC taking on number one Arizona, which is also in Las Vegas. And I should mention, to round out our UH basketball discussion, the UNLV Lady Rebels three-peated in the Mountain West yesterday. So they won yesterday, and I had tweeted that, hey, we're ready for another three-peat to happen in Vegas this week. So it was just done by the Rebels in the Mountain West. Again, the women's program doing good things over there at UNLV. So our program about to do the same thing and three-peat and potentially, and rightfully so, should get a higher seed in the NCAA tournament. So I just wanted to share that little nugget for all of you guys as we're heading into hopefully the next few days of UH basketball in the Big West Conference tournament. I mean, that's going to be crazy. I can't wait. I'm just hoping I get another game tomorrow that I get to watch the men and women play tomorrow. So please don't fail me.
Yes. You can put aside the Taylor Swift fandom for the next 2 days because you'll be all pumped up with UH basketball.
Yeah. If anyone is listening from Vegas, or if you're like me and planning to go to Vegas today, we are going to go for the women's basketball, I guess, send-off party from their hotel. So it's at 10 a.m. Hawaii time. And let me bring up their hotel real quick. So they're staying close to the Dollar Loan Center out in Henderson. So they're staying at the Hampton Inn and Suites Las Vegas Henderson, which is on 421 Astera Street in Henderson, Nevada. So 10 a.m. tomorrow, Vegas time. Be there, and we're all going to send off the Rainbow Wahine. So like I said, it's just about 15 minutes away, maybe less, from the Dollar Loan Center if you guys want to join us. And again, follow me on social media or on Instagram specifically, and Twitter at Kule Agbayani, or on our company one at High Sports Radio for all of, if you're here and you want to be there, we'll take you through all the behind the scenes. Okay. Now to switch gears all the way through, because since, you know, Michael's kind of, this is your first show being in here this week, and you're a huge NFL fan, so it's been fun. Paul and I talked extensively about it on Tuesday, but all of the free agency stuff going on right now, and as I skimmed through the list, and I mentioned this during the break, I'm like, wow, you're kind of like Paul's team and the New York Jets. I don't see the Rams anywhere on, like, these signings. I mean, I guess Paul has John Simpson, the guard, 2-year, $12 million deal from the Ravens, but other than that, keep scrolling, and you don't see much. The Bears signed Simone Biles, so we totally won in that one. Oh, I see one. Jonah Jackson, a guard, 3 years, $51 million with the LA Rams, coming over from the Lions.
Yeah, that's what happens when you beat us. We take your one of your linemen.
That's what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, the Rams, they've been pretty, it's, I think Jackson is like the only non-Ram. Oh, I mean, we did sign Darius Williams, but he was a former Ram during our, you know, he was with the team during our Super Bowl year. But we've just re-signed a lot of players. We re-signed Kevin Dotson, big guard that we signed in the off-season. And we re-signed DeMarcus Robinson, who kind of became our number three receiver towards the latter parts of our season. So I think we're trying to do the same thing, but also put an emphasis on the running game. So I think that's going to really kind of help preserve Matthew Stafford and his health, because, you know, when you got defenses biting on the run, he has the arm talent and the arm strength to get it downfield. So I'm liking that we're kind of under the radar. You know, as they say, NFL championships aren't won in March or April or May, you know, and the team that usually dominates the offseason headlines do not win the Super Bowl. So, you know, the Bears and the Jets still have a chance, as well as the Rams. So
describe dominating headlines, because Okay, so there. I guess you could put it in two parts, right? Signings that seem significant, like Kirk Cousins continuing to get paid and going over to the Atlanta Falcons, 4 years, $180 million. But then you have someone like the Houston Texans, right? Like, who were really, really good last year. They completely scored and hit a home run in the draft. And now they actually, they have Danielle Hunter, 2 years, $49 million coming over from the Vikings. So, and he was actually, like, at least via The Athletic, the number one player in free agency. So the Texans get him, and, you know, just to add and shore up their defense because he's an edge rusher, but he's not someone that, like, oh, when it hit the headlines, you're like, oh my gosh, like, whoa, that was crazy. So I don't know, are the Texans going to be that much better? Because they're making a ton of moves in the offseason. And if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, I would be a bit jelly.
I think the Cowboys are still the only team that have signed zero free agents from another team. And I like looking at the memes where, like, you guys are signing people? Wow. You know, but the Texans, yeah, I think they're going for it. They realize they have a guy in CJ Stroud, and what better time to push for a Super Bowl when your rookie is still, or your rookie quarterback is still on his rookie deal? You don't have to pay him big bucks, and he's probably not going to be eligible for extension for another 2 years or so, because even Brock Purdy isn't eligible for an extension. So right now, you know, Brock Purdy is still making, you know, pennies on the dollar, but that's why for the 49ers, their window is closing if you can't get it done, which is not a problem for me being a Rams fan.
And not surprising, though, because they haven't really lost anyone significant from that 49ers squad. They are still sitting on top as the favorites to win the Super Bowl next year at 5-1. The Chiefs, as you always got to give them respect, are at +650, and the Ravens are still at 9-1. The odds hasn't really changed much throughout the first few days of free agency. And the Rams are actually right there. You guys are right next to Paul's team at 30-1, along with, this is surprising, along with the Chargers, who I think are going to be a lot better, along with the Falcons, who I think are going to be a lot better. And the Texans are at 22-1. Ooh, I need to see what the Texans' odds are, at least to win the division when I go to Vegas, because if they're that low to, let me see. So they're 12-1 to win the AFC. Ooh. It's funny because I was just thinking, like, ooh, what are some future bets that I can put in? Because I have some tickets that I still have to cash from futures bets I put in the last time I was in Vegas. So I'm excited to roll those over. I'm like, I'm going to cash them and put them on another futures bet. And the Texans to win the AFC at 12-1 are looking pretty juicy over there.
Yeah, I think the Jaguars are shaky.
Or the Chargers, 16-1. I know that pains you to hear that.
Well, it's just the Chargers, you know, can Justin Herbert stay healthy, you know, and they're and Jim Harbaugh, you know, his style of play and his style of football, it really works well in college, and it works well for, like, a historic program for, like, Michigan. But, you know, there some people will say that there is kind of a shelf life on how long he can hold the locker room. And, you know, they might see success early, but they still have to contend with Mahomes. I think the Raiders are being a sneaky pick, picking up Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins. You know, that defensive line is going to be scary. And the Broncos, you know, maybe it was Russ's fault. I don't think it was Russell Wilson's fault, but that's just a very tough division. I would not touch that division with my money.
So you're saying stick with the Texans. Got it. Will do. We're putting that futures bet in when I go to Vegas and rolling over the ticket, because you know why? Cashing tickets is what it's all about. Thank you, our VSIN friends. We'll be right back to wrap things up on Wake Up in the Den. Girl, you must let me
know. Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Wake Up in the Den, alongside Michael Lescaro. I'm Kule Ogbayani. Shout out 94 Block. We got a Waipahu duo in the studio this morning, and that's some Rebel Sojas. Did you go? No, they're older than you, yeah.
Waipahu duo in our station in Kalihi. That just feels weird.
There's still chickens outside, though, so it's the same thing. It feels like we're back in our hometown. Because every time I turn down Morris Lane over here, I'm always like, there's another chicken I'm about to, like, run over. It's like, move. And then they're not even scared. So, like, they don't, like, move right away. And you're just kind of waiting. And it's just staring down the car. Like, can you cut? Come on, chicken.
No. One thing I've never seen is a chicken that got run over on the side of the road. I've never, you know, you see poor animals like cats and dogs, yeah. But chickens never get run over. So just floor it. They'll be out of the way.
That still scares me. I will be the first person to accidentally run. I've hit a bird on the freeway before. Like, I felt so bad. It just, like, I was on the freeway driving. I think I was like by Kelly, and then it just flew across my car, and then I just see like feathers. Like, no. What? And I was so sad. I've never killed an animal before, of course. And that's the first time I've ever hit anything. I felt like, what is it, Randy Johnson, like hitting the bird with his pitch. Like, that was me with my car, hitting the poor bird and seeing the feathers just go everywhere. Like, I'm sorry, bird.
Yeah, that's a bird flying in midair. But chickens, they are warriors. You put them in a ring and they just go off.
Not endorsing anything in here, by the way, but I point taken. You guys know what we're talking about.
Well, we are at a station for VSIN, so, you know, there are.
That's legal gambling, Michael. Gosh, this has just turned into a Sierra discussion to close out the show, which is fine because it's almost like it's my Aloha Friday because I will not be here tomorrow, and Paul Brecht will be filling in on this seat, and Michael will be here again tomorrow morning to bring you guys the recap of the basketball games, the UH basketball game that happens today, and give you the preview of the women's game that's coming up tomorrow. But no, I just can't stop laughing at that. Oh my gosh. What part of my Paul do you live again?
I live by the Plantation Village, you know, so some fairly good amount of chickens rolling around, you know, so yeah.
I always joke because I can kind of like sleep through anything and or fall asleep anywhere, like even when it's hot. Like my other half is like, he cannot sleep if it's hot, like there has to be air conditioning or something, but I can fall asleep anywhere. And I credit that a lot to growing up in Waipahu, because we didn't use our air conditioning a lot because my mom always liked to conserve electricity, so we couldn't always turn on the air conditioning. And then when I needed to take a nap because I was like a student athlete and, you know, all that stuff, and just fall asleep, and I wake up sweating, but at the same time you got like the roosters outside, and they in Waipahu, I don't know why in movies it seems like roosters only crow in the morning, because that's just not the case when you grow up surrounded by them. And because they crow like all day long.
Yeah, they crow at random times. I remember doing a phone interview one time, and they're like, where are you? Is that chickens in the background? Yes, it was like 12 p.m. They also crow at like 3 a.m. in the morning, so they're... You know, when they say a broken clock is right twice a day, chickens are never right. Maybe, you know, never right, yeah.
So, but it's true. So that's why I can kind of like sleep through everything, because when you grow up, just hearing the chickens and the roosters, and there weren't, I don't even know where they were living, because I don't know. I lived across the Honawai Elementary, and yeah, but anyways, that brings me back to playing Rebel Sojas, because I thought it was only fitting since we have a little Waipahu crew in here. And then shout out to Rebel Sojas and the 94 block and the greenhouse that you can kind of see in the music videos. And yeah, that was a fun time. So I don't know if I ever told you, Michael, because like I said, I think they're all kind of like close to my age. So you weren't in high school the same time as them, right? I don't think so.
No, they were performing at like our elementary concerts.
Oh gosh. Thanks a lot.
But speaking of Rebels, you know, like you said earlier in the show, the UNLV Rebels three-peated for women's basketball, and we're hoping to see our University of Hawaii Rainbow Wahine three-peat this weekend.
Thanks for turning it around and not like making me continue to feel old when you just said that, because Yeah, they're my classmates. Well, elementary classmates. I didn't go to Waipahu High School, but Honawai Elementary. Shout out, Honawai. Okay, yeah. So running things out. Don't forget, you guys, stick around for Sharks Weekly. Paul Brecht is already on site at the HPU Aloha Tower Marketplace campus in the eSports Arena powered by DSE Hawaii. And we'll feature HPU cheer following Sharks Weekly. We'll bring you Joining in Progress, USC versus number one Arizona in the Pac-12 conference tournament. The game time for that actually starts at 9, but so we'll join probably around halftime of that game. Other than that, follow us on social media to join us in Vegas. For Michael Escaro, I'm Kule Agbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye!